to have that big message yet, because you might pull off a Jonah on him. But he'll still get you in place. But sometimes he puts you there and he sits still. It's kind of like when my son is doing something crazy, right? I have Aaron, he's 2 years old. That boy is so full of energy. From the moment he wakes up to the moment, well, 2 hours after we put him to bed, he's still the energy. He's still jumping on his bed. He's kicking everything, right? So many times that boy gets in trouble. My kind of parenting style is, if he puts himself in a place where he might fall, let him fall, he'll learn. If he's in danger, I'll stop it. If he's not in danger, let him learn. So there is many moments of us, not us, him crying, right? There is many moments of him weeping because he fell or hurt this, simply because he didn't listen to me. Or simply because I didn't warn him not to do it. I stay quiet as dad, and I just watch and observe and protect him from danger. But if he's going to be minor, then let him learn. He needs to learn. I believe that God does that with us. He just sits there. He's proactive. He's watching. He's protecting us. But he lets you do, because you need to learn. I'm a big believer that you learn from your mistakes. So you need to make mistakes for you to be able to learn. Nobody's created perfect. Nobody's created with all the knowledge in the world. So we need to be able to make mistakes. That is a huge thing that I believe in. And so God's the same way. He wants you to be able to make mistakes. And he wants to comfort you when those mistakes happen, for him to tell you, it's okay. It's okay. This is how we do it now. Let's go do it the right way. And you continue doing it. And that's the exact same way in your own circle. You get to be an impactful person. You get to be this great person by making mistakes. So what? You goofed up talking to somebody and you may have given them the wrong idea about Jesus. It's not the end of the world. You can always go back and correct yourself. If your pride is too hurt, call up one of your pastors. I will go there and fix it for you. But you move forward. You don't stop. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And so, 1 Peter 2 just tells us that we're chosen. If you are a child of God, you are chosen. If you have professed faith in Jesus Christ, you are chosen. Therefore, you have an assignment. It's not a, I get to sit on my behind and do nothing. No, you get to be proactive. You get to be yearning for the world to be changed. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Again, that last part, it says, God prepared that good works beforehand so that we would walk in them. We're created by God. So God knows all of our fallacies. God knows every issue that we have. It's not like we can surprise him. But many times we feel like we can still surprise God. But he's not surprised. He's impressed by how many times you try to surprise him, though. But he's not surprised. And that tells you that he's still okay with your problems. You still need to go forward and do. Point two, becoming without being. You know, as I was coming up with a sermon, one of my coworkers said, "You know, Andre, this sounds like a whole bunch of Hinduism. All these becoming without being, being all to all." And so I say, let's use it. Let's proclaim Jesus over those Hinduism words and let's see Jesus seen through that. Yeah? Becoming without being. So Paul makes it clear that for us to be able to see others saved, we have to do certain things. First, be servant to all, right? Two, don't act like you're more superior. And three, to be able to show empathy. And so, how do I become like them without being one of them? The first thought that always comes to mind is, you have the buddy with the alcohol issue. Does that mean you go and get schwasted with them too? No. That's the answer right there. A person that has issue with profanity, do you go and cuss up a storm with them too? No. But what you do is you get to a level to where they can feel comfortable with you. Question I want you to ask yourself is, am I approachable? Am I an approachable person? Am I a safe person for people to approach? Those in church and those outside of church. If people see me on the street, are they intimidated by me? Or would they feel like they can come up to me to talk? You know, I shared an example with my young adults last week because I practiced this message on them. Believe it or not, I practice things. But I'm not going to go in detail, but I had an interaction with a young lady one day after work, and I was just super exhausted, and she saw that I worked at a church, and she was just like, oh, and then I really didn't say much, but she just like word vomited all her issues, and I was just mind blown because I couldn't process it as fast as she was speaking. It was just one of those things like, here's all my problems since I was a little kid. This is why I hate church, and I'm Catholic, blah, 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 this and that, and it's just like, it's 5:30. I'm so tired. And so I was thinking it. I didn't say it. I didn't know how it came across, but somehow she still felt comfortable to speak. So 15 minutes later, this lady is still talking to me about how much problem she had with the church. And I was like, man, I'd love to talk with you. Can you just, here's our office phone number. You're welcome to call here. So interaction finished, and I walked away, and I was like, man, I could have been a little bit more Jesus to her. But it was at a bank, so I feel not as bad. I was holding up a line, people. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who calls you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So when you choose to go and have that heart-to-heart conversation, or maybe just sit there for that person to just spew out all these issues that they have, would you be careful on how you act in front of them? Don't be the I am holier than thou person, because that's a no-no. That's a turn-off right away. Don't be the, I know more than you, so you must hear what I have to say, whether you like it or not, because they'll never talk to you again. But be the person that's willing to say, I'm sorry that the world treated you this way. But here's my experience. This is how I got to experience freedom from what I had. This is how I got to experience a better lifestyle. Maybe your first conversation with them doesn't have to include the word Jesus, but you need to mention God. You need to understand that you are an image of Jesus Christ, right? We're created in his image. We're created in his image. But sometimes people flee at the name of Jesus, and we know it's not the people, it's the spirit that's in them. When they don't have Christ in them, they have something else. And so when we say Jesus, they run. So to win them to Jesus, you have to be understanding of what is going on with them. If I had just met a new person and they're telling me, man, I am struggling with all these things, and I start like praying over them, demon be gone in the name of Jesus, you're not worthy, blah, blah, I proclaim the name of Jesus over your life, this person's going to be like, what's going on? What's going on? Instead of me just sitting with them and being like, I feel you, man, or woman. It'll be weird. Man, stick with man. I feel you. I understand your frustration. I understand that no matter what you do, you're still feeling empty. But let me tell you, I was there one day, and I was able to find hope. Keep it simple. We do such a good job at using Christianese. If you don't know, that is the proper language for Christian people. We do a good job at using Christianese. But sometimes we need to just take it easy. But still, don't forget our foundation. So you say, okay, so how can I talk about Jesus without saying Jesus? How can I talk about God without using the Bible? Well, you need to be grounded in truth. That's the first thing. This April, I'm taking our young adults up to a retreat, and our theme is being grounded in truth. And I'm going to be talking about how important it is to know your foundational ideology and theology. That's Christianese for knowing about Jesus and knowing what your faith looks like. How to be grounded in the truth. Sometimes we just need to go back. Maybe for those of you who haven't taken Operation Solid Lives, or OSL for short, level one gets you to understand it. Level two gets you in the word. And level three gets you to understand the word. I haven't taken four and five yet, but they're good. But maybe it's time for you to dig deeper. Maybe just reading the word of God is a little confusing. So why don't you join a discipleship program? Get in there. And man, watch how the Lord is just going to fill you up with all this information and be like, whoa, I'm a new person. Use knowledge that you have to help others become better and to have a better life rather than showing off your knowledge. Don't make up stuff. Can I say that? Just don't make up stuff. People will read right through you. Right? People will see right through you. If you start making up things about how you did this and experienced that and you had it the worst in your life, people will be like, yeah, cool. I watched that show too. It was on Netflix, binged it. Right? It's hard. It's hard when we start making stuff up. Common sense plays a huge part in this. Common sense is important. Use common sense when you're speaking to people, right? It could be as simple as maybe this person is not ready to receive anything yet, whether it's simple words or complicated words. Body language, right? How they're acting towards you. But when you feel like it's hard to act out on common sense, start praying within your heart. Lord, help me, right? We always need the Lord's help. Yes. Lord, help me. I really want to know how I can do this. Amen. To be the change that you want to see, you have to show the Jesus who first changed you. Amen. And so that takes time sometimes. But you have to be consistent. People seek community, they seek relationship, they seek trust. These are things that Jesus was great at showing to people. He had a following because people felt comfortable and safe around him, not just because they all thought everything he did was so cool and they needed to record it for their Instagram feed. Jesus wasn't showing off. Jesus was proclaiming the kingdom of God. Every miracle he did it for a reason. Every miracle done was done for a reason. Every healing done, he did it for a reason. Every word he said was accounted for. Everything he did was accounted for because he was on a mission. He had a purpose. And we also get to have a purpose. Number three, the last point, overcoming fear of commitments. Today, I'm going to challenge you to do something a little different. We're going to apply this message right away. We're going to start applying it right away. And here's what I mean. I prepared little tiny cards for you. And I'm calling them commitment cards. You can call them whatever you want to call them. But it simply says this: this year, I am committing to. And it has lines for you to write down. And what we're going to do is that the worship team is going to play a song softly. And you're going to take time between you and God. And you're going to hear out what God wants you to commit to this year. This is not a New Year's resolution. We're about 12 days late. A resolution is also something you come up with. This is something that God is going to come up with for you. You and God are going to work on this together. And God's going to speak to you. I believe that he is. And he's going to say, I want you to commit to this year. Here are some examples. Maybe your commitment is going to be to help out in a certain ministry. Maybe your commitment is going to be more intentional with your family, more intentional with the loved ones that you have. Maybe this year's commitment is going to be helping out Surfing the Nations whenever you can. Maybe it's going to be go out of your comfort zone and just be willing to help people out. I'm not going to tell you what your commitment is going to be. I don't want you to copy what I said. This is between you and God. Galatians 6:9, it says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up." So my challenge to you today is this. Come up with a commitment. Don't leave that card blank. Please don't. If you say, "Well, I can't hear from God. I've never done it. I don't know what it's like." Well, I just found out your commitment is to seek God and seek his voice. Maybe for you, you feel like, I'm not grounded in that truth. I don't know enough about the Bible. Man, start in our discipleship program. Get plugged into a life group. I'm not standing up here to advertise our ministries, but I'm standing up here to tell you, here are some steps that you can take so that you can have a powerful commitment. So ushers, would you come forward? You have our little commitment cards. They're going to pass it out to you. Lights are going to stay on. We're doing a worship song? Yeah? The worship team is going to play a worship song. Please don't stand up. I don't know about you, but when I was in school and we were always taking a test, right? And then teacher said, "Okay, when you're done, you can just take your stuff and leave." I felt under pressure because I was not a good test taker. So please don't put anybody under pressure. You don't need to stand up. They're going to do this worship song for you to listen to God, for you to hear from him. I don't want you to rush through this. You're going to have a couple of minutes. Maybe the Lord already spoke to you. Would you just stay in your seat and just say, "God, thank you. Now I want to pray over this commitment." So worship team, thank you for leading us into this song. And I'll be back to wrap up service.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, and oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, and it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and oh my soul, and worship his holy name. Sing like never before, and oh my soul, I worship your kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and oh my soul, and worship his holy name. Sing like never before, And oh, my soul, I worship your holy name.
Commitment could be something that's scary. A lot of people joke about having a fear of commitment. Say, oh, I don't want to get married. I'm too scared to commit. I don't want to have babies. It's too big of a commitment. I don't want to go to school. I can't commit to that kind of money. Maybe you're here and you might have that same feeling regarding what God's calling you to do. Maybe you're thinking, man, I'm just not ready to let God down. I have a newsflash for you. You can't let God down because you don't hold God up. God is the one that holds you up. And so when he's saying, you do, you do. He's saying, go ahead, go mess up. I'm going to fix it. He's the master fixer-upper. Chip and Joanna Gaines have nothing on him. God is capable of cleaning up all your messes. So don't be afraid to commit to doing something radical for God this year. I hope you didn't write down a New Year's resolution like losing weight. That's good, but man, hope you wrote down something like, I'm going to go out downtown and just be a friend to people every week. Or I'm committing myself to serve in children's ministry every week this year. Children's ministry needs you. Maybe you're already doing a lot. Good. Keep up that commitment. I want you to know that the Lord is smiling upon this place because our commitment to him, this place does not lack commitment, but it's good to always challenge ourselves to do one more thing. So as we close out service, I want to pray for you. And I want to say, good job for filling that out. I don't want you to lose that little card because if you got a chance to read in your life group questions, on the bottom, it says to bring that card or share what you wrote, that commitment, with somebody in your life group so that they can be accountable to you and you could be accountable to them. So that way you can have accountability for somebody to ask you, hey, how are you doing with the commitment you made earlier this year? Man, I'm hoping for 100% saying, great, how about you? Saying, I've been on top of it and I've seen lives changed and I've seen my relationships change with my family. I've seen God come through and do a miracle. I'm praying that for every single person that is here. You stay committed to what the Lord told you until he says stop, do something else. So Father, we thank you for God. You make a way for us to just be impactful no matter what. So Lord, I pray a blessing for every person that is here, that as they start this commitment that they wrote down today, that Lord, they would not feel like they're running out of energy or that they'd be weary. God, I pray that everybody's here, that they would feel so empowered by you, so that they would feel so enriched by you, God, so that they would know that you've got their back. Lord, I pray against the enemy when he tries to come and start lying to us about how we're not good enough, about how we can't get it right, about how we messed up so many times. Lord, I pray that we would have the backbone to say, no, I'm not listening to that. I know the voice of truth, and I'm standing on that. God, let us know your word more. Let us memorize your word. Let us be able to speak your scriptures. And let us be relatable, God. We want to be relatable so that way we can love on people, so that we can be Jesus to people. Father, I thank you. Thank you for every home that is represented here. And I pray that, Lord, reconciliation would come, healings would come, favor, abundance in finances. But most of all, that every home would be knowing you by the end of this year. Lives would be changed. Baptisms in the Holy Spirit would happen. Water baptisms would happen in our own homes so that, God, we can proclaim that our homes are serving you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And I thank you that you're going to carry us through it, and you're going to make sure that we see it done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, friends. Before I dismiss you, I have one last announcement, and it's this. Today is the second Sunday of the month, and so for this year, we're doing something fun as Hope Chapel. Every second Sunday of the month, we're going to be meeting at a place at 12:45 to all have lunch together. And what did you call it? Dutch-style lunch? What is it? That. Buy your own lunch. But we get to all have fellowship together. So today, we are going to be meeting at Seacliff Center. Everybody know where that is? Yorktown and Main, or Yorktown and Golden West, whichever street you're comfortable with. It's all the same spot. But 12:45, that's where we'll be meeting. Look for the big old group that you know that's taken over the whole spot. So that's where we'll be. That's where lunch is going to be today. Feel free to invite anybody. We want to just have community. We want to have fellowship. Other than that, would you stand with me? Let's stretch up our arms, legs. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that you are good. We pray that we'd have an amazing week, that, Lord, you would give us favor no matter where we go, because your favor is better than anything else that this world can ever give us. So I pray blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys are dismissed. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.